I want to do a little bit as we begin the sermon for this morning, just a little bit of going back into John, the 14th chapter, and we're going to be focused on John, part of John, the 15th chapter. But Jesus says these words. He says, "If you love me, you will obey my commands. And my Father will love you, and we will come to you, and we will make our home with you. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my commands." And these words that you hear me say, these are not my words. These belong to the Father who sent me. I say these things to you while I'm still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will remind you of, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. He says, and remember, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He's heading right now to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, "Peace I leave with you." When we've been separated from someone, there is not peace in our hearts. There is a uncertainty of what tomorrow looks like. There's uncertainty about what the future will happen. How will things begin to unfold? And this is what was going through the disciples' mind. And Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. You've heard me say that I'm going away and that I'm returning to you. And if you love me, you would be glad because the Father is greater than I. I say these things to you now so that before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. I won't say much more to you because the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but he comes so that the world will learn that I love the Father and I do exactly what he has commanded me. Come now, let us go." And he begins this journey. And while he's talking with the disciples and they're on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts out every branch in me that does not bear fruit, while he prunes every branch that does bear fruit so that it will become more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." And just prior to that, he said, "Remain in me as I also remain in you." And I want to emphasize that, because remain in me as I also remain in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, is gathered up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. It is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I wrote down some observations as I went back over these passages of Scripture. And this pertains to the body of believers. The one desire that I have as your pastor, as your minister, is that when that time comes and we all stand before Jesus, we will hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I know that in our hearts sometimes there are frustrations about what we're accomplishing here. And that would be true for all of us who love Christ and who love the church. But the one thing that we know for a fact is revealed to us in John, the 14th chapter, verse 23. Love for Jesus is recognized by obeying his commands. And the first question that we might ask ourselves, how good am I at obeying the teachings of Jesus? Because everything that we're going to accomplish for his glory, for his kingdom, for our benefit, is directly linked to the teaching of Jesus and our obedience to it. Most of the world, especially the dark world, lives for today with no thought for tomorrow. They were going to live this life to the fullness, which I don't know that there's too much wrong with living your life to the fullness. But there is an awareness that we all must have that God has something more in store for us than the days that we walk upon this earth. And he's intended for us to do more than those things that we can find or devise to do for ourselves. He has something that is directly linked to our brothers and sisters in Christ who also love Jesus and obey his word. And in that obedience and in that word comes the success of the intent of God that God has for all mankind. The opposite is also true, and it's stated in John, the 14th chapter, verse 24. The one who does not love me will not obey my commands. And the question, obvious question here, is if I'm not obeying God's command, do I really love Jesus? And I think loving Jesus is a big deal when it comes to God's direction for us. Loving Jesus is what it's all about, isn't it? Because out of Jesus flows everything that we need to know and everything that he expects us to do. And sometimes it's hard to wrap our minds around the totality or the bigness of what Jesus wants us to do and all the words. You know, Joe and I frequently have discussions about what was said and what wasn't said and what's been forgotten. And there isn't a wife Holy Spirit that comes and reminds us of everything that she said. So we have to decipher that for ourselves. But in the body of believers, we do have an entity that will remind us of everything that Jesus said. Now, the first part of being reminded about what Jesus said is, first of all, we have to know what he said. And the only way today that we can know what Jesus said, since he's not walking around physically right beside us, is to know the red letters in your Bible. Those are the words that Jesus said. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. Do we know what the commands are? Do we know what Jesus wants us to do? And so what he's going to do for us, since our minds are not finite, we can't grasp everything, we can't understand everything at one time. He said, I'm going to send you an advocate, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name. Now, in my name represents the one from whom it is sent, and we are the recipients of the one from whom it is sent, and it's sent in Jesus' name. So the reality here is that even though Jesus in the flesh was going away, we know how it happened. It happened on the cross, and then he was buried, he rose, and then he ascended. But he's coming back, and he tells the disciples, I'm coming back to you. I won't leave you as orphans. I'm coming back to you, and I'm going to remind you. I'm going to teach you everything that you need to know. Now, I wish I knew everything that I need to know. But in the context of God's kingdom and God's intent for our lives, he is teaching me moment by moment what I need to know in that moment. And I remember that through that Holy Spirit to collectively gain a notebook of knowledge that I can use. And then he's going to remind you of things. Have you ever been in a circumstance where you were trying to make a decision about what to do, and all of a sudden this little light bulb comes on, and we read something about, this is what Jesus said. Yeah, that's what I got to do. I got to do what Jesus said. The unfortunate thing is, when that little light bulb comes on, we flip the switch and turn it back off, and we do what we want to. That's me. So in John, the 14th chapter, the 27th verse, we find this idea comes through, and it says, as a result of love and obedience, the revelation from the mind of God, the revealing of the mind of God, and the calling to memory the words of Jesus develops an inner peace that is confident and fearless. As you navigate your life in this world, are you confident? Because when we are in the right relationship with Jesus Christ, when we are obedient to his word because we love him, we have a confidence that is unshakable. Does that mean bad things are not going to happen to us? Does that mean that we'll never be anxious about what's going to happen to us? There's a big difference between being anxious and living in fear. Fear is debilitating. Fear will not allow you to do things that you know that you must do. Fear will keep you from doing the things that might fill you up. But anxiety is an anxiousness about it that is also inquisitive, that it makes us think about and try to recall, how am I going to get through this? How, you know, I'm not sure about this, but God's word gives us the foundation that we can be fearless without anxiousness, or without confident without fear. And we find that in John, the 14th chapter, the 29th verse, Jesus foretells the physical and power event of Pentecost. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, they will no longer be orphans. The mind of Christ, Jesus, is coming back to them in the form of the Holy Spirit. He says, I won't leave you as orphans, but rather they'll see the return of Jesus to themselves with an eternal and an abiding presence, which is the post, and we live in the post-Pentecost, which we receive this gift, this abiding gift, to everyone who belongs to Christ. Paul says that if you don't have the Spirit, you don't have Christ. In Acts 2:38, it says, the gift, you know, repent and be baptized for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift, you will receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. I believe there's some confusion about what this Holy Spirit is, that is this gift. Some people think that we'll automatically be able to do the charismatic things, the speaking in tongues, the healings, and all those things. I think it's the Spirit that God is talking about here in John, the 14th chapter, that will teach us all things and remind us of the words that Jesus spoke. That is a treasure in itself. And that's a promise to all of us. Post-Pentecost, the church, because the church was established on the day of Pentecost, and we live in the days after Pentecost, entitled the last days, the end of the age. In John the 15th chapter, verse 1, we find our strength and nourishment for the task, and that is remaining in the vine. How many of you have fruit trees? Ever had a fruit tree? You know, every spring, you're supposed to prune those, or in the fall, you're supposed to prune those trees. And you know, it has never been my experience when I pruned a branch off a fruit tree that I could throw that branch on the ground and all of a sudden something else was growing. Now, that might not be true with a grapevine, because if a grapevine touches the ground and gets a little water, it'll grow. Now, I don't know if it's like the parent stock or not. But in order for this fruit to grow, it has to remain in the parent stalk, doesn't it? In the root, in the vine. Did you ever just stop to think about a peach? I was thinking about that this morning in this remaining in the vine. What are all the things that are involved in just a peach? And believe me, there's nothing better than a tree-ripened peach, especially a white Alberta peach off the tree, that when you take a bite of it, the juice just runs down your arm off your elbow. And oh my goodness, there's nothing better than that kind of a peach. One of God's great miracles, in my opinion. But what does it take? Does that peach decide that he's going to jump off of the branch that has the bud that he's created and just be separate from the tree because I think I'm better than the tree? Or the branch decides, I'm going to divide myself from the trunk. I'm going to get off of here, and the peaches I raise are going to be different than any other peaches. No, because we're just told that it's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. If we're not in the vine, we wither. The plant will die. The branch will die when it's cut away from the vine. And Jesus tells his disciples, he tells us in the church today, you can do nothing. You can't bear fruit unless you remain in me. And friends, the reason the church is unsuccessful in our world today is because we have removed ourselves from the vine and we have started to do things our own way because we have a better idea. Governments have better ideas, and you know how that's turning out. You can do nothing unless you remain in the vine. Why is not the church growing today? What does fruit look like? What are the reasons that we stumble, we fall, we can't move forward, we can't break a barrier? Why? And I think we ask the basic question, do I love Jesus? Am I doing things Jesus' way? Or do I think that those ways are kind of corny, they're out of date, let's just do it different. Let's make it exciting. Let's make it more valuable. I don't know who told me this, but it's stuck in my brain that what we win them with is what we win them to. Bill, was that you that said that? It might have been you. But what we win them with is what we win them to. And if we win them with excitement and bells and whistles and not the word of God, we win them to excitement and bells and whistles. And when we don't have the bells and the whistles anymore, they're gone. And they're going to go look for that somewhere else. But if we win them with the word of God that will bear fruit in their life, bear up to eternal life, then wherever they go, they will be a part of God's great plan and vision for his people. Make no mistake about it. The church that is not connected to Jesus Christ, who is not willing to stand the ground of faith, who is not willing to stand the ground of true doctrine, gospel doctrine, Jesus doctrine, is a church that will fall apart and fail. And we see that all around us. Lewis just gave me an article this morning about a church that is walking down a dangerous path that's going to affect millions of people because they're moving away from the foundation of Jesus Christ as the sacrifice, as the redemption for our sins. Friends, we cannot accept evil and sin to become a part of a church and accept it as okay. Now, I want you to understand what I just said. We have to love everyone because that's the mind and the heart of God with a redemptive purpose in our hearts for that individual. But if that individual wants us to accept them as they are, without repentance, without doing what God wants them to do, and make us say that it's okay, that will never work, and we are on the path to destruction and failure. If we are the light of the world, then we need to shine the light of Jesus, right? If we are to be the salt of the earth, then we must maintain the integrity of the gospel of Jesus Christ with the heartfelt intent that all should come to salvation, that all should come to know Jesus Christ. And friends, we can't do that our own way. We can't do what seems fun and pleasurable to us all the time and leave Christ out of the picture and think we're okay. The message of the church has become we're okay when we're not. That we're well when we're sick. That we're alive and vital when really we're dead. Fruit bearing, that which is pleasing and pleasurable and satisfying, is the mark of the disciple as he shares and does the will of the Father because he loves him. The mark of the disciple is one who is bearing fruit God's way. And that is the work of the church. And if we miss the mark here, then we miss the mark of what God has called us to do. Many times we look for gratification in what we do in the church. But listen to what he says in John 15:8. God is glorified when you bear much fruit. It's for God's glory that we bear fruit. It's for God's glory that we do what he empowers us to do. It's God's glory that we accept those who no one else will accept, and that we will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in its entirety, in the full manifestation of the love that God has as he gave it to us through Jesus Christ. And that success that we have is the success provided by Jesus living in us through the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work any other way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, do we even know how blessed we are to have your words? And how reprehensible sometimes our attitudes are, and we don't even realize it because it's become so much us that we can't even recognize it. Father, my prayer today for this body of believers, for myself, for those that I love, is that we might see your love and respond in like way by loving you. And demonstrating that love by obeying what you've told us to do. For in it we find life, eternal life, through Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.